Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch Hour. Coming up, a rundown of some big upcoming concerts. Give you some ticket information, too, from Front Row Phyllis. And Johnny Jett's business class with some secrets for travelers. Always useful and helpful. First, though, let's go to Austin, Texas. And from the Tribune's Blue Sky Innovation Department, John Carpenter at South by Southwest. How's it going, John?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. I was reading about South by Southwest, and really it sounds like much more than music, film, gadgets, and, of course, VIP parties. How do you describe it?
You know, it's interesting. South by Southwest Interactive, which is where I am right now, which kind of precedes the music part of it. The focus is on the digital world and sort of the world, the modern world of the internet, but culture is so much a part of that, that there's definitely a lot of tech stuff, there's a lot of business stuff, and there are certainly all these corporate sponsors who are trying to, you know, reach these people, but there's a lot of cultural conversations. I mean, personal improvement, the environment. I mean, I just walked out of a big talk by former Vice President Al Gore, you know, talking about climate change, and I'm walking into an event with Penny Pritzker from Chicago. She's the Secretary of Commerce. She's going to be talking about reforming patent law, which can help innovation. But, you know, this whole scene, it's kind of a sort of geeky hipster scene, but there's 30,000 people at this interactive festival. So it's ginormous. And what I kind of like about it, I mean, the size is a little daunting, but it really is, at any given time of day, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of, you know, large and small events that you can learn something from. So a lot of the people who are here, aside from the, you know, the vendors who are selling things, are people who just kind of want to get smarter. So that's what's kind of interesting about South by Southwest, I think.
And the big time acts down there, are those all sponsored by major brands?
You know, most of them are during the interactive portion of it. When it started today and it goes until Tuesday, and on Tuesday it overlaps with South by Southwest Music, and that's, of course, you know, where this all began. And so most of the bands that you may see who are playing somewhere during the interactive portion are going to be playing as part of a party by, you know, you name it. Phillips, Bank of America, big corporate sponsors. Mm-hmm. But this event is, you know, music is a part of it because so many of the people who go to it are music fans, but it's sort of winds up to the big South by Southwest Music Festival, and that's where there's hundreds of bands, big and small, playing all over the city.
This is the 29th year for South by Southwest there in Austin, and it has really morphed over the years, hasn't it?
Right.
And become really a combination of festivals and a healthy dose of weirdness too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You know, it still retains a little bit of quirkiness. You know, there's always people who tell you, "Oh, it was much cooler," you know, years ago when I used to go there. And it's obviously gotten big, but there's so many people here. I mean, there's Austin is not that big a city, so it's overrun with these kind of quirky, techie people. So there are, people who are not officially part of South by Southwest who come here because there's a crowd. It's like anything else. You draw a crowd and you're going to get people. But it's got its share of funkiness.
It's famous for hard to get into parties. Will you be able to crash any of them, John?
You know, it remains to be seen. I have invitations to a few. When you get invitations, especially if you're on the media list, you get a lot of invitations, and you can never quite tell whether you're saying yes to a very interesting, cool dinner with a technology innovator, or whether you're saying yes to something that you're going to get to, and there's going to be a mile long line for, and then once you get in, you're just going to be jammed in. So the parties kind of start tonight, and you know, I try and go to them if I can because they're fun, and you know, you do meet interesting people. That's kind of a big thing about South by Southwest, is it's a big networking place, but it's also the kind of place where you where you run into, you know, you literally getting coffee in the morning or, you know, waiting in line to go into an event. You run this to people who are unique and interesting. Last year, I was waiting in line at a food truck, and I found myself standing next to the son of Gene Roddenberry, who was the creator of Star Trek. And he and I sat down at the picnic table and had a conversation about this project that he's doing to kind of annotate these great old Star Trek episodes. So that's the kind of stuff that happens here that I think sort of keeps people coming back, even though it's so crowded.
Well, now that his baseball career is over, be on the lookout for Will Ferrell. He's supposed to be there. Ryan Gosling, Snoop Dogg, Jimmy Kimmel returns his show to Austin during the festival for the second year in a row. Yep. Is it in one central location? Is it outside? Is it just in hotels? How is the layout?
Well, you know, Austin has a huge convention center that I think mostly exists for South by Southwest, but it's outgrown that. So it's basically downtown Austin. Most of the events are going to be within walking distance of this convention center, which is nice because it's 70 degrees right now and it's sunny. And so it is nice to get outside and walk around. That's actually one of the daunting things about South by Southwest. They tell first timers, you know, you look at the program, there's I think 800 different events in South by Southwest interactive, just interactive alone. So you can say to yourself, I'm going to go see this one, and then a half hour later, I'm going to go see that one, and they may be a few miles apart. But for the most part, it basically takes over the heart of downtown Austin, which is you know, kind of a cool little downtown. It's a college town. It's it's a lot of fun. But it's the convention center, and certainly more fun going to an event in Austin than, say, like, you know, Las Vegas. Or, I mean, Las Vegas has its own kind of fun, but it's more interesting to be in Austin. And I think that's also one of the things that kind of keeps people coming back and people like about it.
It might even be more exciting than being in the Tribune Tower today. It's John Carpenter reporting from Austin, South by Southwest, and have fun. Have a good weekend.
I will. Thank you.
Time to step into business class. And our weekly visit with Johnny Jett, proprietor of the most comprehensive travel site on the internet, johnnyjett.com. And Johnny, I was very disturbed and worried when I logged in and I saw your report on how you got shingles from too much travel. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Well, better than you, I guess. Are you healthy again?
I am, actually. I just landed. I'm in Austin for South by Southwest.
Oh, you too. Everybody's there but me. What's the deal on shingles?
You know, I never even heard of shingles except one of those commercials on TV, which I always muted or turned the channel whenever I saw it. And I always thought it was for old people, but it's actually, you can get it when you're a toddler. It's usually when people get chickenpox first, and then it stays in your system.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had chickenpox when I was a kid, and then it usually comes out either when you're really stressed or they think it's because when you're stressed. And last week, or 2 weeks ago or whenever it was, I traveled so much and I rarely got any sleep because I was in Miami. My hotel was like a disco, couldn't get any sleep. I just wore my body down, and I had to do some public speaking gigs. And next thing I know, I had this nasty earache. And I went to the doctor for it, and I said, by the way, my forehead feels really sensitive. Like, if you touch it, it hurts. It feels like there's a pimple growing out. And he's like, it sounds like shingles. So he gave me a prescription for Valtrex. And luckily, he said, if anything pops up, start taking it. And I got it on it within an hour. And so I got a mild case. I got lucky. But I've heard horror stories.
Yes, very painful. Did your doctor say that you should have had a shingle shot, or are you too young for that?
Well, they usually recommend it for people over 50, or actually I've even heard 62. But, you know, I think I don't think you're ever too young for it, because, hey, and it's not guaranteed that it won't go away either, or that you won't get it. But the chances are, I think, 50%. And it's an expensive shot, I think $200.
Yeah, but might be well worth it. Well, I'm glad you're on the mend. There's a report in the news about the rebound for the airline industry continuing. U.S. carriers reporting record rates of filled seats and international travelers in the past year. And what I want to know is this good news for us or bad news for us, the flying public?
You know what? It's good. So the good news is the prices are down. The bad news is the planes are going to be packed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be traveling this summer, you got to make sure you make your flight, because if you're late and you miss the connection, and also leave plenty of time between connections if you are making connections. So, you know, you don't want to do any like 45-minute connections or anything that you say, oh, you know, I want the least amount of time. Actually, you don't want that, because planes are flying so full. And if you miss it, it's going to be tough to get on the next flight.
Yeah, on that subject, and you fly hundreds of thousands of miles every year, there was an interesting report in the Wall Street Journal about canceled flights. 69% of regional jet cancellations are from weather or air traffic congestion problems. Most wide-body cancellations result from airline problems such as mechanical breakdowns. And I guess if you're on a regional jet, they say you're almost three times as likely to be canceled as if you were on a larger plane flown by the main airlines. Have you found that to be correct?
I do. Actually, first of all, I don't like flying regional jets because they're small and they're cramped and they kind of freak me out. But, you know, whenever there's bad weather, they usually cancel those first, because a lot of times those are coming from short distances away. Mm-hmm. and they have a lot of different flights. So they start canceling those first. So that's one big reason why. I didn't read the article, so I'm not exactly sure what it said, but this is my hypothesis, and I think that's the big reason. I mean, so I try to avoid regional jets. So whenever you book online, you can always look and see what kind of aircraft you're flying, and you know, you should get familiar yourself with the types of aircraft. I always go for, you know, wide bodies, but you know, usually CRJ is a regional jet, or but you want to start looking for, like, you want to get either an Airbus or a Boeing 737 or 757, 67, 777, or A380. I mean, those are much bigger planes. The biggest plane's the A380.
It was interesting in this report. They said sometimes who's on the plane with you is what matters most. If the trip has a lot of high-fare business passengers or VIPs and no spare airplanes are available, airlines sometimes cancel a lighter-booked flight or one with lots of low-fare leisure passengers. Then they use the healthy airplane for the higher-revenue flight. That's interesting.
That is true. That is true, actually, because I actually got a behind-the-scenes tour of Delta, and they showed us all their reservation systems, and they know exactly how many high freaking flyers there are, or high profile people. Actually, the one that gets canceled the least is when there's an unaccompanied minor on the plane.
Really?
So that's the one that gets canceled the least. So if you get an unaccompanied minor on your plane, you're in good shape. But you know, a couple weeks ago, my dad was flying JFK to L.A. His flight was delayed 7 hours, and it landed in L.A. at 4:45 in the morning, and that's unheard of. But it turns out Matt Lauer was on the plane, and you know, NBC has a huge contract with American, so I believe that's why it went, and he had to get to the Oscars.
Wow!
So you know, I think that holds truth.
Fly with Matt Lauer, and you'll never be canceled. All right, be healthy and safe travels. JohnnyJet.com for more. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Market metrics and the latest headlines. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Time for our hashtags, likes, and shares department from the Tribune Soul Social column. It is Scott Kleinberg. And we were just talking with Johnny Jett about airlines and travel. And,
oh, yeah.
There's an interesting story that's buzzing around online about security lines. What's this have to do with?
So this is at one airport at Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Airport, and they have a system. They're trying a system that's been tried around the world pretty successfully, where they use Wi-Fi and Bluetooth to track people's cell phones. And by that, they're able to tell how many people are in a certain area of the airport. So this means if you're waiting in a long line for airport security and they track that there are a lot of people in one location, they can open up another line. And what it's done is it's dropped the wait at security lines by a third. So an average of 13.2 minutes has gone down to 8.9 minutes.
We need that at O'Hare and Midway.
We need that at O'Hare and Midway. My guess is that they tested at smaller airports and see how it goes from there. And 13.2 to 8.9 maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but I would say it's definitely a lot.
When you're running to make a plane.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that they could use that for other things. You know, you could use it in restaurants. restaurant areas where it gets really busy, or gate areas where there's delays, you know, so there's a lot of potential for that kind of thing.
So something like 20 airports around the world use this now?
Yeah, 20 airports around the world. I think they said Toronto, Amsterdam, Dubai, a lot of other places have tried it and have reported success with it. So sounds like something that if it's working in the U.S. in the one pilot location, that it'll do well in the other places too.
Hope so. Streaming TV business has been getting a lot of attention lately.
For sure.
And you've got some news on a report that was just issued. What does it tell us?
It's a Nielsen report, and it's a 2014 total audience report, and it says that 36% of homes across the U.S. are using Netflix or have Netflix or use Netflix, which is a huge, huge number. More than 40% of U.S. homes subscribe to some kind of streaming service, so whether Netflix or Hulu or one of those things. But I read another story the other day that said that people just do not watch TV shows when they air anymore, between DVRs, between devices, streaming services. So, I mean, to me, 36% for one particular service was pretty surprising. 40% streaming in general, that's a pretty big number.
Yeah, that's also why they're having problems in Hollywood with the movie business, because people aren't going to the theaters.
Exactly. You can go for sure. And I mean, people who are really big fans of shows and really big fans of movies are still going to do those things because they mean a lot. But otherwise, it's all about convenience now.
What's the Twitter experiment with TV timelines?
You know, I absolutely love this. This is like a very small experiment, and Mashable is reporting on this. This is a very small experiment on the new version of the iPhone Twitter app, and it's just an updated version, not necessarily new. But now if you click on a button if you click on a hashtag that is in a show that's participating, it will take you to this special screen. And this special screen is like this immersive experience into all the tweets and all the information surrounding that show. So the difference is, in the past, you would get like a column and you would see a column of what people are talking about. But you still have everything else going on around you. You just have that one column. This pulls you into like an entirely separate area of Twitter where it's just photos, just tweets, just people talking. And you're inside this thing. And right now it's just on a few shows. They said it's Big Bang Theory, American Idol, The Blacklist, some big shows. But I think that has so much potential because Twitter is always looking for a way to differentiate itself from Facebook and other places. And they try to copy sometimes. But when it comes to TV, that's where people go. People go to Twitter for TV long before they go to Facebook.
Yeah, especially when it's kind of a community event, like everybody's watching
exactly.
The Oscars.
Exactly. The conversation and just the fact that you're sent into this one place where nothing else is bothering you around you and you're talking to like-minded people, that's going to keep people there longer and make them come back.
And increasingly, there's more and more of that, what do they refer to it as, the two-screen viewing?
Two-screen experience, yes,
yeah.
Dual-screen experience, which I think is a great idea. I've always thought that Twitter should make it so you have something going on with your actual TV where you can see, like, you know, tweets and things rolling down, you know, based on what you're watching. This is a great first step. I still think that's a great idea, but I think this is a great first step.
That's on the way for sure.
It's got to be.
If not here in some form already.
We'll be talking about it next year.
Fill us in on this class action suit involving Facebook, and I think parents are going to enjoy hearing about this.
Yeah. So basically, there was this time where kids were going onto their parents' Facebook account, and they were buying things within Facebook, like game credits and things for the store and stuff like that, and they were using their parents' credit card. And that's because credit cards are on file for a lot of different Facebook accounts, depending on how you set yours up. And now, because kids were spending money without their parents' permission, a judge ruled that there can be a lawsuit against Facebook, like a class action type of lawsuit for this thing. But then another U.S. district judge ruled and said that there is no way to make it a class action because it wouldn't be an even amount of money that the people would be entitled to because it depends on what you spend. So they said that they can go forward and they can, you know, they could file suit. So it'll be interesting to see what Facebook says about that. Apple had something very similar happen with the App Store and with kids going in and buying updates to games and that kind of thing. And they revamped their entire system to make it so it would log out automatically and that couldn't happen anymore. So it'll be really curious to see what Facebook does with it.
And the trial date is October, isn't it?
Yes, October 19th.
Finally, let's talk a little bit about this new study that tells us how social media affects our day-to-day lives.
Oh, yeah. It's this thing where it's basically saying you're missing out when you're thinking about social media. It's these two guys that wrote this New York Times bestseller called Crucial Conversations, and they basically looked at what it means to click like and how it affects your day. So one of the stats they found, they talked to 1,623 people, and one of the stats they found is that, well, we're a social media-obsessed society. So, for example, 58% of people said that they have posted the perfect picture, but it prevented them from enjoying life's experience. And I'm totally with that. I mean, I've stood along the river, you know, during the dyeing the river green, and I've worried so much about what the photo looked like. It's like, oh, I guess I missed what it actually looked like when it was being dyed green.
Exactly.
And you look back later at your photos and you're like, well, these are great, but I'd like to go next year without the phone. And then you're like, well, you're never going to go without the phone.
Yeah, I'd like to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Really be there.
I love the fact that they looked into this. They said that 91% of respondents said they saw tourists actually miss this kind of stuff. I mean, it's a really good thing to think about that, you know, sometimes we do too much with social media.
We do. We're texting while we're watching something, and then of course everybody's got a camera in their hand now with the smartphone, and when you're behind the camera, you're not really experiencing it.
Absolutely. And now the watch is coming out, the Apple Watch, and you're going to be able to pose your photos on the watch before you take the photo, so you'll be doing this with, I mean, it's like, it's going to be insane.
And you'll be reporting on all of it.
Oh,
Scott,
yes.
Scott Kleinberg, So Social, the column in The Trib. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks,
have a good weekend.
Good weekend to you too.
More on the Wintrust Business Lunch coming up on 720 WGN.
Let's get to some show business now. Concert maven front row Phyllis is here with the latest on entertainment and shows coming to Chicago. How you doing, Phyllis?
I'm good. How are you?
Anxious to hear what's going on, starting with something tonight in Joliet.
Yeah, something tonight in Joliet, and that is comedian... It's Gabriel Iglesias. He actually calls himself AKA Fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen him in that red Hawaiian
That's
shirt.
What I call him, Fluffy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. He's Fluffy. It's over his performance. He's actually, he is so, so funny. And he's just electrifying and just a great show. And that's over at the Rialto in Joliet. And that's tonight.
Might be some tickets still left.
There are some tickets still left.
Good to know. Then next week, something for country music fans in Rosemont, right?
Yeah. Next week is going to be a great show. Great, great show. It is Country Heartthrob. Eric Church will be at the Allstate Arena, and that's on Friday, March 20th. And tickets are still available for that. And I will tell you that he is just coming off of a great year. You know, he was nominated for 4 Grammys. And you'll know that it's his show when you see him in his leather jacket, his Von Dutch hat, aviator sunglasses, along with his tight jeans. So the girls all love it.
I just saw him walking past our Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue.
I thought that was him. I also have something exciting. I got a pair of tickets to give away for that show. So just go to frontrowphyllis.com and register to win.
Like it. I really would be curious about seeing Loretta Lynn on March 27th.
Yeah, Loretta Lynn, March 27th, over at a great venue, Arcata Theater in St. Charles. Love this place. It's tucked away, and it's a great place for her to perform. You know, she has not been on tour for quite a few years, so it's great that she's here. You know, she's just an American country icon. I love her.
Yeah, Ron Onesti, our pal out there, he gets the legends, doesn't
he? Yes, he does get the legends, and it's a great venue to see any performance, and especially hers.
Bette Midler hasn't toured in a while, and she's coming back in June.
She is. She will be here on June 18th over at United Center. And she has not toured, believe it or not, in a decade, which sounds so long because you see so much of her, but it's been doing a lot of other things. So, she will be here over at United Center, and she's bringing her tour called It's the Girls. And if you actually go online to purchase tickets, you get a digital download of her new album. So
nice.
Not so bad.
You know, a lot of people are talking about Ravinia. The schedule was announced recently. And, of course, Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett will be a big highlight. But is there any way that people are going to actually be able to get tickets unless they are the big Ravinia muckety-mucks?
Right, exactly. Or the media, right?
Yeah. Well, not even us.
Not even. Right, exactly. Well, tickets did just go on sale to the public. So there are tickets available. I can't tell you what is available. He has a great great schedule this year. So Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett, great show. It's 2 days, and it is on June 26th and June 27th.
Other highlights at Ravinia, I guess the Steely Dan Elvis Costello shows will be
big. That a great show? I mean, that's a great combination. Here you got the American, you know, jazz rockers meet pop sensation Elvis Costello. One stage and two nights, and that's going to be over at Ravinia on July 24th and 25th. Those tickets just went on sale, so they should be still available. I can't tell you how many, but it's going to be a great performance. They actually haven't been on tour in about a decade as well.
A big show this summer, Billy Joel at Wrigley Field, August 27th. And yep. What's the ticket situation for that?
Those are still available. That is on, like you said, August 27th over at Wrigley. This is his second year in a row, and it's actually his fourth year performing at Wrigley. And something that's pretty cool is that Wrigley is actually putting together a piano man flag that they're going to fly the day of the show, which is pretty cool.
Yes, it is. Now, if people want to find out more about these shows, ticket information, and other events, how do they do that easily?
They just go to frontrowphyllis.com.
Great. And thanks for the update. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
This is the Wintrust Saturday Business Lunch on 720 WGN.